When Darius the great king died, his son Xerxes, who is called Ahasuerus in the Bible, took his place on the throne of Persia. Ahasuerus was not a wise man like his father Darius. He was hasty in temperament and did many foolish things. At that time, the palace where the king of Persia lived was no longer located in Babylon, but in a city named Shushan. It was located among the mountains of a region called Elam. King Ahasuerus held a great feast at Shushan with his nobles. When the king and his group were drunk with wine, he sent for his queen, Vashti. He wanted to let all the nobles see how beautiful she was. Among the Persians, it was considered wrong for a woman to allow her face to be seen by any man except her husband. Queen Vashti refused to come to such a feast where drunken men would stare at her. This made the king very angry. He said that because Vashti did not obey him, she would not be queen any longer. He put her away from him and from his house. After this, King Ahasuerus decided to choose another woman for his queen. He sent commands throughout all the kingdom. He commanded that in every land and province they should find the most beautiful young women and bring them to the royal city of Shushan. There the king would look at all of them and choose the one that pleased him best, and he would make her queen. So from every region in the great empire of Persia, the loveliest young women were brought to Shushan. The women were left in the care of Haggai, the chief of the king's palace. At that time, many Jews were living in the cities of Persia because, as we have already seen, only a small part of the Jews went back to the land of Israel when King Cyrus allowed them to return. There was a Jew living in Shushan named Mordecai. He belonged to the tribe of Benjamin and came from the same family line as Saul, the first of the kings of Israel. His cousin lived at the house of Mordecai. She was a young girl named Hadassah, or Esther, a name which means star. Her father and mother had died, and she had been left alone, so Mordecai brought her up as his own daughter. Esther was very beautiful, as lovely in her heart as she was in her face. She was taken to the palace, along with the other beautiful young women, to be brought before the king. When King Ahasuerus saw Esther, the Jewish girl, he loved her. Out of all the young women, he chose her to be his queen. He set on her head the royal crown of Persia. Esther was taken into the king's palace. Rooms and servants were given to her, and she lived as a queen. When the king sent for her, she would come to his room. No one could go to the king or see him unless sent for by the king. And if anyone, man or woman, came before the king without being called, that person was seized by the guards and led away to be put to death. The only way that person could avoid death is by the king holding out toward him his golden scepter, the rod which he held. In the palace, Mordecai could no longer meet his cousin Esther because no man except the king could enter the room set apart for the women. But from her window, Esther could see Mordecai as he walked by. She sent word to him by her servants, and in the same way he could send word to her. Mordecai loved the lovely young queen. To Mordecai, she was like a daughter, and every day he sat by the gate of the palace to hear from her. Once, while Mordecai was sitting by the gate, he saw two men. They were keepers of the gate. By watching them and listening closely to what they said, Mordecai discovered that they had made a plan to kill King Ahasuerus. He sent word of this to Queen Esther, and Esther told the king about it. The men were taken, and when Mordecai's word was found to be true, they were both killed by hanging. An account or story of their plan and how they were discovered by Mordecai the Jew and how they were punished was written in the book of records of the kingdom. After this, a man named Haman arose to great power in the kingdom. The king gave him a seat above all the other princes and asked his advice in all matters and allowed Haman to do whatever he pleased. Of course, everybody in the palace showed great respect to Haman because he stood next to the king. When he came near, all the men in the palace and in the city bowed down before him, and many fell on their faces, even in the very dust. But Mordecai was a worshiper of God, and he would not fall upon his face before any man. Haman noticed that there was one man who did not bow down, as did the others around him. He said to his servants, "Who is that man sitting by the gate who does not bow down when I pass by?" They answered Haman, "That is Mordecai the Jew." But they did not know, so they could not tell Haman that Mordecai was the cousin of Queen Esther, that the queen of Persia herself was a Jew. When Haman found that Mordecai was a Jew, he became very angry, not only with Mordecai, but with all his people too. He hated the Jews and resolved to have revenge on Mordecai. He resolved that he would make Mordecai's people suffer. Haman went in to the king and said, "O King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad through your kingdom and apart from all other peoples. Their laws are different from those of every other nation, and they do not keep the king's laws. It is not well to allow such a people to live. If it is pleasing to the king, let a law be made that this strange people be destroyed. I will myself pay all the cost of putting them to death and will place the money in the king's treasury." The king, living in his palace and never going out among his people, knew nothing of the Jews and believed Haman's words. He took from his hand the ring of the royal seal and gave it to Haman, saying, "Do as you please. Write whatever law you wish and stamp it with the king's seal. The money is yours, and I give the strange people to you. You can do with them as you please." Then, by Haman's command, a law was written and sealed with the king's seal, that on the 13th day of the 12th month, all Jews in every part of Persia should be slain. Anyone who chose to kill them could do so. Those who killed a Jew could take all their money and any gold and silver and garments which might be found in their houses. The copies of this law were sent to every city of the empire of Persia to be read everywhere so that everyone would know that the Jews were to be destroyed. All who heard of it were filled with wonder because no one knew of any evil against the king that the Jews had done to deserve death. They could not understand why the law had been made. But everywhere the enemies of the Jews made ready to destroy them, that they might have their riches. The news of this terrible law came to Mordecai, as it came to all the Jews in Shushan. Mordecai tore his clothes, as was the manner of those in deep grief. He put on garments of sackcloth. He covered his head with ashes, and he went forth in front of the palace, crying a loud and bitter cry. Queen Esther saw him and heard his voice. She sent Hatach, one of her servants, to Mordecai. She wanted to find out why he was in such deep trouble. Hatach found Mordecai, and Mordecai told him of the law that allowed the killing of Jews on a certain day. Mordecai gave Hatach a copy of the law to show Queen Esther. He told Hatach to ask the queen in his name to go in to King Ahasuerus and beg him to spare the lives of her people. Queen Esther heard Hatach's words and sent this message to Mordecai. "It is the rule of the palace that if any man or woman shall go in to the king in his own room without being sent for by the king, he shall be slain unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter. But I have not been called to meet the king for 30 days. When Mordecai heard this message, he sent word again by Hatach to Queen Esther. Do not think that in the king's palace you are safe and shall escape the fate of your people. If you keep still and do nothing to save your people, God will surely save them in some other way, and you and your father's family shall be destroyed. Who can tell whether God has not raised you up and given you your royal place for such a time as this, that you may save your people? Then Esther sent this answer to Mordecai. Go and bring together all the Jews in Shushan, and let them all pray for me, eating and drinking nothing for 3 days. I and my maids in the palace will pray and fast also at the same time. And then I will go in to the king, even though it is against the law. And if it be God's will that I should die in trying to save my people, then I will die. When Mordecai heard these words, he was glad, for he felt sure that God would save his people through Queen Esther. For 3 days, all the Jews in Shushan met together and prayed. In the palace, Esther and her servants were also praying. The third day came, and Esther dressed herself in all her robes as queen. She went out of her own rooms and across the open court. She entered the door in front of the throne where the king was sitting. The king saw her standing before him in all her beauty, and his heart was touched with love for her. He held out toward her the golden rod or scepter that was in his hand. Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. The king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? It shall be given to you, even to the half of my kingdom." But Esther did not at once ask for all that was in her heart. She was very wise, and she said, "If it pleases the king, I have come to ask that the king and Haman, the prince, shall come this day to a dinner that I have made ready for them." The king said, "Send word to Haman that he haste and come to dine with the king and queen." So that day King Ahasuerus and Haman sat at the table with the queen. She was covered with a veil, because even Haman was not allowed to look on her face. While they were sitting together, the king said, "Queen Esther, is there anything that you wish? It shall be given to you, whatever it is, even to half of the kingdom." "My wish," answered the queen, "is that the king and Haman shall come again to a dinner with me tomorrow." Haman walked out of the palace that day happy at the honor that had come to him. But when he saw Mordecai sitting by the gate and not rising up to bow before him, all his gladness passed away, and he was angry in his heart. When he arrived at his own house, Haman told his wife Jeresh and friends how the king and queen had honored him. Then he said, "But all this is as nothing to me when I see that man, Mordecai the Jew, sitting at the king's gate." But his wife said to him, "Do not let so small a matter as that trouble you. Before you go to the feast tomorrow, have a gallows made, and then ask the king to command that Mordecai be hanged. The king will do whatever you wish, and then, when you have sent Mordecai to his death, you can be happy at the feast with the king and queen." This pleased Haman, and on that very day he ordered the gallows to be set up and made ready for Mordecai's hanging the next day. It so happened that the king was unable to sleep that night. He told them to read in the book of records of the kingdom, hoping that the reading might put him to sleep. They read in the book how Mordecai had told of the two men who had sought to murder the king. The king stopped the reading and said, "What reward has been given to Mordecai for saving the life of the king from these men?" "O king," they answered, "nothing has been done for Mordecai." Then said the king, "Is any one of the princes standing outside in the court?" "Yes, O king," was answered, "the noble Haman is in the court." Haman was there at that very moment for the purpose of asking the king for permission to hang Mordecai. The king sent word to Haman to come in, and as soon as he entered, the king said, What shall be done to any man whom the king wishes especially to honor? Now Haman thought within himself, there is no man whom the king will wish to honor more than me. Then he said, the man whom the king wishes especially to honor, let him be dressed in the garments of the king, and let him sit on the horse that the king rides on, and let the royal crown be set on his head. Let him ride through the main street of the city, and let one of the nobles call out before him, this is the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and do all this that you have said to Mordecai the Jew who sits in the king's gate. See that nothing is left out of what you have spoken. Haman was astonished and cut to the heart, but he did not dare say what he felt. He obeyed the king's command. He sent for the king's horse, his robes, and his crown, dressed Mordecai like a king, mounted him on the horse, and went before him through the streets of Shushan, calling aloud, this is the man whom the king delights to honor. And after that Haman hid his anger and sorrow of heart and sat down to the feast in the queen's palace. He had not said a word to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows he had prepared the day before. King Ahasuerus knew very well that his queen had still some favor to ask, and at the feast he said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? Tell me, and I will give it to you, even though it be half of my kingdom. Then Esther saw that her time had come. She said to the king, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please you, let my life be given me and the lives of my people. For we have been sold, I and all my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. If only we had been sold as slaves, I would have said nothing, but we are to be slain to please our enemy. Then said the king, who is the man and where is he that has dared to do this thing? The enemy, said Queen Esther, is this wicked Haman. As the king heard this, he was so angry that he rose up from the table and walked out into the garden. In a moment he came back and saw Haman fallen down upon his face, begging the queen to spare his life. The king looked at him in anger, and the servants at once covered Haman's face because he was doomed to death. One of the officers standing near said, there stands the gallows 75 feet high, which Haman set up yesterday on which to hang Mordecai. Hang Haman himself on it, ordered the king. So Haman died on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. And on that day the king gave Haman's place to Mordecai and set him over the princes. He gave to Mordecai his own ring with its seal. And according to the cruel way of doing things in those times, all the family of Haman, including his sons, were put to death for their father's evil doing. The law for killing Jews on the 13th day of the 12th month had been made and sent out across the land, and no law of the Persians could be changed. But though this law could not be taken back, another law was made that Jews could defend themselves against any who might try to do them harm. When the day came, most of their enemies feared to harm them, because now they were under the care of the king, and Mordecai, a Jew, stood next to the king. Obviously, any enemy who tried to kill them on that day were soon destroyed. So instead of sorrow and death on the 13th day of the 12th month, the Jews had joy and gladness. And on the day following, the 14th day of the 12th month, the Jews kept a feast of thanksgiving to God for his mercy in saving them from their enemies. From then on, this feast has been kept on that day every year. It is called the Feast of Purim. On that feast, the story of Esther, the beautiful queen, is read by the Jewish people.